in the pages of the Bible are the answers to man's most pressing needs. As you listen to the following message, you're encouraged to write down the scripture references as they are given, and to accept only what you can read for yourself from your own Bible. If you wish, you are also welcome to tape record this entire presentation for future study. All quotations are taken from the King James Version of the Bible, unless otherwise indicated.
This is Bible Call, script 120, The Final Resurrection. Atheism is a pessimistic form of the philosophy of naturalism or humanism. It has no evidence of life beyond the grave and knows no mechanism by which a resurrection may be accomplished. The heathen religions of the world are likewise destitute. Unwilling to accept total oblivion, most of them opt for some form of reincarnation, in which fleshly existence is repeated, but devoid of any hope of something better. Only among Jews, Muslims, and Christians is there belief in a supernatural God who exercises power over nature and who will someday raise the dead. Both Jews and Muslims, however, deny that any man has ever arisen from the dead. They deny the resurrection of Jesus. Their hope is not based upon concrete demonstrations of God's power to raise the dead. Only in Christianity does one find solid hope. If God raised up Jesus, he will just as surely raise us up. In the 15th chapter of the 1st Corinthian letter, Paul presents an unanswerable argument for the resurrection of the dead and promises that, as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. W.C. Witcher, in his book Legal Proof, does a masterful job presenting from the standpoint of the brilliant criminal lawyer proof of the resurrection of Jesus that would stand up in any court of law. Both reason and revelation testify to the certainty of a final resurrection of the dead. Those who would scoff at the evidence are unwilling seriously to consider it. The alternatives are either total annihilation or else fleshly reincarnation. Why would one settle for less when a resurrection is certainly promised? Solomon said that the body would return to the dust as it was, but the soul goes back to God who gave it. At death we consign the body to the grave. We do not consign the soul there. Jesus promised in John chapter 5, verses 28 and 29, all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth. You will note that those are the ones that are in the graves that'll come forth. What is in the grave? Well, the body is in the grave, and so the bodies will come forth. Thus Paul, in his description of the resurrection in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, says, it is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. The Bible teaches a bodily resurrection. The perishable becomes imperishable, and the mortal becomes immortal. Death is swallowed up in life. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The general resurrection, heralded by the resurrection trumpet, will signal the awakening of the wicked and the good alike at the same time. There is no millennium separating them by 1,000 years. In the same instant, the same twinkling of an eye, both good and bad arise. The bad can't miss it, and the good don't want to miss it. Every time we see a blade of green grass shooting up as the snows of winter melt away, we are heartened in the hope of resurrection. For God would not give the sprigs of nature promise of living again at the end of winter, and leave a man made in his own image with a lesser prospect. Thank you for your call.